Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Blue Shirt Band Radio. I am Jim, and we're going to take it real slow in the beginning here because I know you're all still watching the game. Unfortunately, I cannot see the game from where I'm sitting, so I'm going to depend on you guys in the chat room to keep me updated. I know we've gone to a shootout, a tremendous, tremendous hockey game tonight at the Garden. Unbelievable. Two teams, end-to-end, beautiful goaltending. you couldn't ask for a better game. Just some great physical play. Both teams playing very well. Both Lundqvist and Brodeur standing on their heads all night long. I don't even know what the current shot total is. Last I looked, I think it was around 80 shots between the two teams. Just an incredible, incredible hockey game. Like a game seven. I think that's about the best way you could label it for right now. So I'm counting on you guys in the chat room to let me know what's going on with the shootout. And my partner has joined us now. I know he was trying to get to the end of the game just like I was. I was running back and forth between the living room and my little studio setup here, and unfortunately they went to overtime and my wife just looked at me and said, "Sorry, honey," and I said, "Yeah, I know, I gotta go." So here we are. Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
How's it going? What a game! Holy Manolis.
Oh, unbelievable. I don't know if you heard me just say it. It's like a game seven. Just an one for the ages, I think. One of the best regulars in a rivalry that has had some classic games. Put this one right up there as maybe one of the best regular season games these two have ever put on.
Oh, yeah. And everybody, you know, only 15 people saw it on Versus, which is great. It's a fantastic game. They're in the skills competition next.
And, the home run derby.
Yep, the home run derby part. But what a game. Goaltending, fantastic. This was the Rangers' most focused game of the year, as far as I was concerned. They were playing on all cylinders, defensively, offensively. You alluded to the 80 shots. I remember it was actually 43-40 at the time. And, looks like it right now for the Rangers is going to be Kota Leak going on the penalty on the shot, and then it looks like he missed. And now it's time for the Devils to go. Both teams exchanging, but still a great game. I thought Brodeur played well. Let's face it, we'll give the big man his due.
Jabba.
The Rangers again. With a lot of shots on net. That's something that we haven't seen since early in the year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and, you know, like you said, probably their most focused performance of the season. I just thought they came out skating well all night long. And they were playing. They've played, maybe they're not only focused, but smart. They were really smart in this game. And let's face it, you know, this team is, even though they're on a hot streak, they are prone to some dumb mistakes at times, but they played really smart tonight. And that's good to see. It's good to see that, you know, they're on this hot streak and they might be playing, their best hockey might still be in front of them. Who knows?
No, I mean, that definitely could be the case. I mean, just from the beginning to finish, like you said, you know, words really can't describe it. I saw heady defensive plays out there by everybody. The fourth line played great in this game. We actually saw a great shift by Brashear, and Boyle played one hell of a game tonight. I mean, he had that breakaway. Really the only real glorious chance besides Gabrick's overtime chance that got thwarted that the Rangers had. And I have to say, all four lines were working it tonight.
Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to follow in the chat room and on Blue Shirt Banner open thread. So did Dubé just score? Did Dubinsky just score?
It looks like it's a save. I'm looking at Ricky O. Oh, wait. We're getting a hit comes in. But, you know, I just really loved it. And it was Rangers. I got to tell you, they played one hell of a game tonight. Win or lose, even in this skills competition, I'm proud of the boys. And it's just a great game.
Did we just lose, Elias? Looks like Ricky says we lose, Elias. And then I see in the Blue Shirt Banner open thread, damn, damn, God damn it, what is this? Damn it. Yak.
Listen, you know, you play a game like this, and, you know, the Devils are, they're not the Blackhawks, but, I mean, they're the best in the division for sure, and this is a tough team. And the Rangers stood in there with them, and a couple breaks, it could have went either way. And now we can get to discussing the game and just a brilliant effort. And listen, they got a point out of it. We'll take it. The Rangers have been getting a lot of these games where they're grabbing points. And like Critical is mentioning in the chat room, it was one hell of a game. And, you know, this is what it reminded me of, a playoff game, like you said, Jim. It was that kind of playoff intensity where, And, you know, it's funny. We speak of the shootouts. Tonight, our guest, P.A. Parenteau, we could have used him. He's got two goals. He had two goals in this shootout, if I recall. So hopefully we get P.A. and talk him in. It's funny. We get this Eric Christensen. He's supposed to be so great in a shootout. It's twice as a Ranger. He hasn't even gotten to the net without losing the puck. So doesn't make much sense. Yeah. He was snake bitten, but I mean, he's been a pleasant surprise since he's come up to the Rangers. And I thought Mark Stahl played a fantastic game tonight.
Everybody did. I mean, you can always nitpick something here and there, but I mean, everybody played very well tonight. I thought, you know, for the most part, you know, I can't really recall any defensive lapses. It was just great end to end hockey. And, you know, somebody has to lose these games when you have a skills competition at the end, but like you said, a big point. And I think if I'm not mistaken, that moves them into a tie. I want to say, is that move them into a tie for fifth in the conference? I'd have to go check the. Let's see if I can pull up the standings real quick while we're talking here. But I believe they were 1 point in out of fifth.
I think the Rangers don't get the win in the column, you know. And it was funny, Anisimov, who I mentioned played well. He actually thought he had scored. He raised his stick up in the air. He played a good game. He's developing. I really like that kid. Once he learns that he's got that frame and he gets that confidence, he's going to be taking the puck straight to the net. And that's what he's got to do. Prosper looked good after the return. It's so funny when you hear like these things, like he missed 7 games due to knee surgery. I mean, knee surgery. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Back in the old days, Joe Namath, they missed, like, they ended their career knee surgery. Now you're back
right.
at 17.
Yeah, yeah, it would have been, 10 years ago, that might have been 6 weeks, you know?
Right. And now it's just with the way it goes. So Vinny was in there with his Garfield tan and looking old tan. Funny, I tell you.
Garfield tan.
But what a great game! And listen, it stinks you lose to the Devil Dogs, but listen, you know, it was a great hockey game, and that's what it's all about. We're all hockey fans. Everybody played well in the Rangers. You can't even. I thought Roosevelt had a pretty good game, getting some shots on net and some blasts. And Wade Redden, I didn't notice too much, which I guess is a good thing nowadays. So.
Yeah, I think the less we notice, the Wade Redden, better off we are.
Yeah, that was just it was a fantastic game again. I mean, I want to say it again. I hate to lose. We all hate to lose, but the Rangers play. If they could play like this every night, Jim, forget about it, as they say. Forget about it. Jeff James, come on. It was that intention. It was that focus. I'm so glad about the focus.
And just taking a look at the standings here with the point, that should put them tied with the Bruins for fifth place. And being that the Rangers have beat the Bruins 3 times now this season, that would actually put the Rangers in fifth place in the conference overall. So for what it's worth, right now I think they're sitting in fifth place.
Well, if you look at tonight's game compared to, like, let's say 3 weeks ago when we were discussing the you know, with Adam Rader, the 5-point plan to fix the Rangers.
Right.
Although they didn't heed his advice, they have gotten it together. the Rangers have played well. I mean, they've gotten the points, and, you know, we were a little a little concerned they were racking up the points to get lesser opponents. But nonetheless, they're getting the points. And that's the major thing here. This is what you're out to accomplish night in and night out. And, you know, they played a Dallas team the other night and a couple nights ago, and Marty Turco was, oh, my God. He got pulled again tonight. He is horrible right now.
He's terrible. And, you know, we talked about it back in December when the when the Rangers were, you know, had an easy part of their schedule with the Islanders and the Panthers and the Flyers and everybody in there. And we talked about how tough January was going to be. And now here they are almost halfway through January, and they're still finding ways to win these games. So, I mean, you can't – it's hard to find fault with anything going on with them right now. I mean, you know, here they are, 12 days into January. This is a real tough schedule, and they've still got – you know, they've still got some tough games ahead of them, but, you know, look, I'd have to go back and check the schedule to see exactly how many points they've picked up so far this month. But it's, you know, I think some of us would have thought that, you know, this was as many points as they'd get in the whole month, and they might be lucky with the schedule they were facing. But, you know, Boston slumping, they caught them at just the right time twice. And, you know, like you said, they were up against Turco the other night, who was terrible. They got the tie, they got the point in Atlanta, which I thought was a big road point, playing on back to back nights. They had to fly in bad weather, you know, playing on the road. I thought that was huge to get that point in Atlanta, and you know, then they come back and they beat Boston over the weekend, and you know, they played a great game tonight. They just, you know, they just came up one goal short. What are you going to do? Or I guess
yeah.
Two goals short.
Yeah, you know, I see Marsh in the chat room saying this team can't score. Listen, you get 45 shots on net a night, the pucks are going to go in. And I think in the last couple nights we've seen some shots being generated, some quality chances other than Gavrik. Higgins has picked up his game. He really has. I mean, again, he has always gotten the chances, but he's starting to pick it up. And maybe he'll make us eat some of those words that we had from earlier in the season. Let's hope so. Let's hope he proves us wrong. And you know, I had him off the Phoenix for Peter Mueller. And you know, listen, hopefully he comes together and gets it together. Great game.
You had Higgins out here in Phoenix, Phoenix 2 months ago.
You could have brought your TV early. You were waiting around for that.
Let me just can you hear me okay? Are you getting feedback? Or
no,
can you hear
I'm
me
hearing
right?
You perfectly fine. You're as clear as a okay. bell, my friend.
Okay. Then I guess the feedback is just in my ear. I am on a hardwire connection tonight instead of the Wi-Fi, but I'm still getting the same feedback, so I don't know what the problem is. But as long as – well, now Ricky O says he hears feedback. Well, it's strange.
Hear,
you're
no,
here – he.
I,
he's hearing feedback, you're not, but whatever. We'll work through it.
He's all set, and Belison didn't play tonight. No, listen, I love that lineup they put in here, although Brashear, he played some shift. You see that one shift he went out there? Forechecking, backchecking. You know, I was thinking about putting it on Ranger Crisis video tomorrow. Just that shift, not even the fight.
That's a lot of money. They paid a lot of money to get that shift.
Well, listen, you pay a lot of money for Chris Drury to block shots and kill the penalty too. You know, but you know, I was an enjoyable game, and stinks that they lost. But I'll tell you, Bro Dewar just doesn't. I mean, he just doesn't quit. I mean, this guy is like he's Methuselah out there. That guy was drafted in 1990. I mean, you know, it's 2010. It's 20 years. Guy is still playing. Like, you know, I mean, it's fantastic.
We got an early phone call on the line here. It's not Mitch Beck with the Howlings report, but let's see. I'm not sure who this is. 631 area code. You're on Blue Shirt Band of Radio. Who's this?
This is Critical.
Hey, Critical. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, good. I figured I'd get in a call in early before PA came on.
Well, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was actually pretty impressed with the Rangers tonight. I am not going to lie. They all played really well.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
oh,
what facet, Critical, did it impress you the most?
The defense. Just, like, the way, you know, everybody seemed defensively responsible tonight. especially late in the third when the puck was on the boards, you saw all five Rangers just surround the two guys on the boards, and we just won that puck battle and took it to the other side of the ice.
Yeah, that's what I noticed, too. The Rangers, with their puck pursuit in the defensive zone, and then that, making that outlet pass to get the puck out of the zone, usually it's like, you know, I call it Ranger palsy. When the Rangers defenseman can't get that puck out of the zone, everybody's got no, you know, and they didn't have it. They were making quick, concise plays out of that zone, and that's what we've been looking for all this year. And, you know, it's so weird that I'm kind of high after a loss, but I don't really, you know, the overtime, the shootout loss doesn't hurt as much. If they would have lost it overtime, I would have been much more crushed. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what was it? Between the two of them, they took 96 shots before the shootout.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hell of a lot of shots. And,
yeah.
And nothing impressed me about the Rangers tonight. They stood out of the box. They didn't take any penalties. I mean, and speaking of penalties, that horse dookie penalty on Christensen when they got called for the two double minors at the same time. What was Christensen doing? He was doing nothing.
I actually missed that. I wasn't watching just for about like a 2 or 3 minute span. And next thing I look at the 5-on-3, I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? I was worried.
Right.
I was so worried.
Yeah. And they killed that penalty, and that was a big penalty.
That was a very
good show. I mean. You got to walk away from this game as a Ranger fan thinking, well, this could be a trap game, as I call it, dub critical. We all get psyched about the team, and then the next game is a blowout. We're all back to square one, but we must think positive. That's what I...
Those two penalties they took at the same time, those were their only two penalties of the night.
Wow. I didn't know that, see? And critical, I saw you mentioning Artem Anisimov. What's your assessment of him?
He's looking better. I mean, I would love to see him get more ice time. I'm sure we all love to see him get more ice time, but Tort just can't give out enough ice time to the right people. I mean, he's keeping Higgins out there. I mean, I know Higgins does a lot, but, I mean, oh, man. But, I mean, Higgins did look better tonight. He was getting pucks on net. He had a couple of nice opportunities. How about that Boyle breakaway?
Yeah. I was kind of wish it was anybody but Boyle.
Critical, for just having watched an exciting game like that, you sound very relaxed. Are you on a massage table or something while you're talking to us? You sound very laid back and relaxed.
Yeah.
Well, compared to us two, everybody sounds calm. We're maniacs over here. That's why we're the host of the show.
Anisimov only had 13 minutes of ice time tonight. In my opinion, it's just not enough for him. I think he deserves more ice time. And I still think that, you know, they put him on that's one thing I still complain about is, you know, they tried him on the first line with Gabrick earlier in the season, and after two games, they decided that was enough for that experiment. Instead of giving him a little time to develop a little chemistry, they took him right off. That's it. Two games, you're out. Try something else. But, you know,
yeah.
What are you going to do?
It's one thing.
I think he immediately
clicked, though, with that line.
Yeah, he has. But this was even before they tried, you know, before they tried bringing. I'm not even sure if they had signed Christensen at that point, but
they
when they tried Anisimov in the first line. Christensen's played very well. I can't really fault him at all either. But I think Anisimov deserves more ice time than he's getting right now.
Definitely.
Yeah,
a lot of people are gonna hate on me for saying this, but Leeson should see some more time. Also, he's one of those. He's a really fast skater. Like He's pretty responsible with the puck, and just him seeing even four more minutes would help.
Well, you're not really in the minority there. A lot of people like Leeson, at least the people who listen to this broadcast predominantly will say that Leeson should play more, and that some reason he's in Tortorella's Chateau Bow Wow for some reason. And it's true. With Anisimov, he plays 13 minutes. All 13 of those minutes, he was noticeable out there. I mean, contributing and hit, you know, and he needs to play more. And you know, I'm critical of Tortorella in this, is that he said that people were going to get positions based on merit, night in and night out. This is what he said in the beginning of the season. And really, I mean, I don't know if it's something because he's a first-year player with the Rangers or what is the mindset is with John Tortorella, but I mean, we're screaming for it. The Ranger fans have watched him from the beginning, and he's starting to come in his own. Play him more.
Did Avery come back in the game after he took that shot to the leg? Because I missed. I was by the time they went to overtime, I came out to get ready for the show, so I didn't see any of overtime. Did he come back on the ice?
I don't think so. I don't remember seeing him, his jersey, or
okay.
Anyone even mention him.
Okay.
Yeah, he played a good game too,
didn't he? Blocking that shot.
Yeah, and he was in a lot of pain.
Oh yeah, he really dropped and was favoring that knee, limping back. I hope he's all right.
So they were fun. I mean, I think they played a great game from top to bottom, and I think even some of the hardcore Ranger fans from the old days, you know, we've been critical about the Garden being the, you know, the world's quietest arena and not supercharged. But tonight the fans were ready to go. It was electric tonight.
Yeah.
It felt like a playoff game to me. I mean, that's why it took me. I came onto the broadcast late. I couldn't tear myself away from the TV.
Yeah, as soon as the overtime hit, I was like, oh, I'll be right back. I'm about to watch the rest of this game. Everyone was like that, too. The tent was empty until the game ended.
Yeah, so that was the story there. And
Paulie D calling us out in the chat room for missing his show last night.
I mean, how many hockey broadcasts am I going to do a week? I mean, you know, I talk to you guys, and then I have nothing going. You and Coffee, and then... But actually, I took my wife to see a movie last night. So what am I supposed to do?
And I apologize to Paulie D for not listening to his show last night. I'm still in transition on my move, Paulie. I apologize. Sorry.
Full of excuses tonight.
Yeah, we've got nothing but excuses.
TV.
That's right. I got my stuff arrived today. Thank you, American Van Lines. Everything showed up. Everything was intact. Carl and his sidekick Eddie did a wonderful job loading the stuff in my house. My TV worked. I was very happy, and I was able to watch the game tonight on Versus in HD. It was beautiful. So anyway, I wonder if I was just thinking we don't have Mitch Beck on the line yet with PA Parenteau. Now, is it possible that they already know that Avery's hurt bad and called up PA and he's not allowed to talk to us now?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, you know, let's hope not. Sean bringing a lot to the games lately. He's back. He was chirping with Marty tonight. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Ricky just said that he called. He had some choice words for Marty on the bench. I guess they showed it on TV. Mm-hmm. Referred to him as a fat. Fill in your own adjective.
Yeah, well, I believe Ed Olczyk is against the Rangers. I'm going to say it right now. I don't know. He seems to always promoting what the Devils are doing so well. And he started off in the opening thing with the stupid comments. He's like, the Rangers have been playing well lately, and it's mainly because they've kept the pressure off this man, Henrik Lundqvist. And I'm like, what? Henrik Lundqvist? He's been bailing us out. He's been playing the best hockey of his season now. And, you know, you're facing 40 shots a night. He faces a lot of high-quality shots every night.
Well, you know, if you think about it, you know, you go back, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, and a lot of debate going on what's wrong with Henrik Lundqvist. And, you know, he doesn't seem like the same goaltender. And ever since he's gotten hot and he's played well, so go the Rangers, right? I mean, that's really been the difference, is that he's been more on his game.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm a bit worrisome, though, about that, because if he keeps us up, Chad Johnson might not get any starts, and we got to worry about Lundqvist getting burnt out come, like, the end, the last stretch of the playoffs.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, he got the Olympic break, and he's going to be playing for Sweden. You mean Prince Chad, as he's been dubbed? Prince
yeah.
Chad Johnson? He looked good in that game, I'll tell you. I mean, it's
yeah,
only one
did.
Game. You don't want to go crazy. It's not like when the Maple Leafs, you play one game good and go there, they want you to give it a key to the city up there. Forget about that. Gustafsson now, he's like the, you know, the new hot guy up there. But, again, I digress talking about the Leafs. But, yeah, you're right, Critical. I'd love to see Chad Johnson get some more playing time. Get him in there. I mean, not against the Devils, but against, you know, the maybe added division opponents. Get him some time. Throw him in there.
Definitely. At least then we can be sure that we'll have a reliable backup should – you know, King Henrik needs some rest.
Yeah, he's going to need some
maybe,
rest.
Maybe Saturday against the Blues might be a possibility for Chad Johnson.
Yeah, because they're going to want to start
yeah.
Lundqvist against Montreal.
Yeah, I mean, and you're looking at Marty Turco. How many games did Marty Turco play last year? He played a crazy amount, I think. I'm pretty sure it's him that I'm thinking about. He put a crazy amount of games. Somebody look that up for me. Give me Turco stats. Charlie Osby Fumonti, my aide and compatriot in this Blue Shirt Panther radio. Get me the stats on Marty Turco.
I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, because they have Saturday and Sunday games this week. So Saturday against in St. Louis might be a good time to play Chad Johnson.
I asked for Marty Turco stats.
Marty Turco played 74 games last year.
Right. And now he can't stop a beach ball with a Bodor right now. He's a total beach ball artist. And we don't want to see that happen to Henrik in the playoffs especially, but I tell you, Henrik has just played is playing so well now. He's got it on lockdown.
Yeah, he's probably one of the only reasons why we're still in a lot of these games, especially with the scoring drought we're hitting.
Right. That's a good point. You know, we, as Ranger fans, kind of give it's a given that he's going to play great every night. And you know, when he doesn't play great every night, even some of us staunch Ranger fans will get on him a little bit. And, you know, even though it's unfair, we just come to expect a lot more from Henrik, and he delivers 95% of the time.
Yeah, he's the backbone of our team, without a doubt.
Yep. There's no doubt about it there. And so all-around good game, Jimmy and Critical. What else we want? We wanted the 2 points. We didn't get it. But I
– one's better than zero.
That's right. And hopefully B.A. Parent will be on here. I want to talk to him. What does it take to score in the shootout? I mean, these Rangers can't get a shootout, though.
Oh, my God. Christensen.
Yeah, come on. Of course, we get a guy, and all of a sudden, oh, you know, while we're waiting for PA and we were lauding the game, what? I got a call from an ex-Ranger the other night. We played this game the other night. Critical, were you here when we played it? You had to guess the Ranger that's going to be on the program.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to give it. You want to play, Jim? Well,
Don't I know the answer to this already?
Yeah, I think you actually know.
Okay.
Right.
I will abstain.
Why don't you give the hints?
Why don't you? We've talked about a couple of different ones. Why don't you very quickly private message me who it is, and I'll throw out some hints.
All right, okay.
Because we've talked about a couple of different names the last couple of days, so.
Okay. It's not Daniel, you know.
Well, then I would just say the biggest nose the Rangers have ever had. Oh, okay. Yeah, see, this wasn't the one I thought of. Okay. Try not to make it too easy here. Let's see. Besides the Rangers, also played for the Hartford Whalers.
He did? Oh, yeah, he did.
That'll be my that's my first hint.
All right, I'm gonna throw out a hint.
Go ahead.
I
do not know who you were talking about.
Oh, I don't know. Go ahead. I can't think of your Brendan Shanahan. He's gonna be it. No. Let's
well, that
see.
Would be, that would be. I'll tell you, we had Brendan Shanahan. He's too big for us, right? How about also played for the as Bernie Nichols would say, the Calgary Flames.
The Calgary Flames.
Calgary Flames. Not the Atlanta Flames. The Calgary Flames.
Nobody's guessed it yet. We've got a Malik. We've got a Fatio. We got a Kotze. It's not Nick Fatio, no. I want to say he was. I had an argument with a guy in when I went to the Theo Fleury signing about. I thought this guy got a rough deal by the Ranger fans, and a little rougher deal than he deserved. But there were some people that appreciated him. But he got a rougher deal. No,
Anson Carter. He'd never be on this show.
I can tell you right now, you got a better chance.
What are we going to talk to Anson Carter about?
Listen, you got a better chance of Anson Williams being on this show than Anson Carter. You want a real hint? He was on Team Canada, but played very sparingly because this is giving too much. Because of the coach, a difference with the coach. Is he Team USA? Was it Canada or USA? It was Canada. Yeah.
I'm looking at him right now. He would be Team Canada.
Yeah, Team Canada.
Team Canada.
No, I'm not giving you his number.
And we're not going to tell you what number he wore, Paulie. That's too easy. Trust me, that's too easy. If I give you his number, you'll know him right away.
He played with the Rangers a long time.
Yes, he was a long time Ranger.
He's in the Ranger 100 grades.
There you go. There's a good hint. And it's not Mike McEwen. You say that he got kind of a raw deal from Ranger fans. And that's because Ranger fans have always preferred their defensemen to be physical guys. If you go back and read that 100 Ranger Greats book, there's a couple of them in there always say that, the fans were, I think Harry Howell was one of them, that really didn't get the appreciation from the fans that until later, that because he wasn't a
Ricky O has got it.
Ricky O, even
James
pulling out his nickname.
Patrick.
James Patrick.
Very good, Ricky O. Give him the golf clap. Jen didn't even know what we were talking about. Neil Patrick Harris, Jen, will be on this show. James Patrick Jeets talked to him the other night. He's an assistant coach for the Buffalo Sabres now. Well, has been for a while.
Patrick Ewing will join us.
Yeah, so we got Critical's got the golf class going on. I'm going to ask him about Steve Patrick, his brother. He actually played for a couple of years. But that's the mystery guest coming up whenever I can, so to speak, nail him down. So, 9:30 sharp, Mouth. Have everything ready. With Mitch Parenteau.
Not like Mitch Beck to pass up publicity time. But since we have a nice full chat room before everyone starts heading for bed on the East Coast. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, Blue Shirt Banner Radio, me and Eddie. We're going to have Jess Rubenstein on from the Prospect Park. We're going to talk to him for probably about an hour or so. We'll go over the Juniors Championship, and we'll talk about how all the prospects are doing. And then right after we finish up with Jess, we will talk to former New York Ranger Bob Brook, who was one of my favorites. So I'm looking forward to it. An Olympian in 1984, a Ranger, and I believe he also played for the Minnesota North Stars, if I'm not mistaken.
Why? Now, I know why he's your favorite. I think I know.
Why?
I think it's because of the goal he scored in a playoff series.
Well, yeah, I was at that game that he scored the two goals against the Caps. That the Rangers were down 5-4 late in the game. He tied it 5-5, and then he won it in overtime with a goal. So yeah, that was that kind of. He was my favorite player for the time he was with the Rangers in the mid 80s when I was still in high school then. And yeah, I was right. He did play for the Minnesota North Stars and finished up his career, like a lot of Rangers do, or did in those days, as a New Jersey Devil. There were a lot of Rangers in those days in the 80s. Now it's the other way around, but it used to be that they wind down their. It really is. You know, it used to be that's where old Rangers kind of went to die. I mean, so to speak. Carol Vadney finished up his career with the Devils.
Didn't Steve Richmond go to the Devils?
I think you're right, Steve Richmond. I just had somebody else in mind. Walt Podubny, rest his soul. He finished up with the Devils. There were a couple others. You know, when the Devils were bad, you know, in the 80s, and they were just kind of pulling players from everywhere. They wound up with. There were quite a few Rangers that went there at the tail end of their careers. So yeah, we got an hour and 18 minutes to go, and. I don't know if Mitch Beck is leaving us at the altar, whatever.
You guys want to
call?
Yeah.
You guys want to call in 646-478-4692. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been able to take some phone calls, so why not tonight?
Yeah, let's talk it up.
Call in. Moisha, you wrote us a phone call for a couple of months. Tonight would be a good night, buddy, especially after the Anson Carter remark.
Now, you know, you try to dissect this Devil team nowadays. Really, what makes them so good? I mean, I don't know.
Lou Lamoriello. What else could it be? You know,
but those guys on the ice, I mean, the players, they're playing out without Paul Martin.
He just knows how to pick them, I guess. I don't know. I mean, they change coaches like I change my drawers. You know, Brodeur obviously is a mainstay, but other than that, I mean, you know, you can't, most of the time, you know, I mean, as Ranger fans, we see them, you know, with it six times a year, so we can name most of the players, but you ask a hockey fan in Denver, name me five New Jersey Devils, he can't do it, you can't name five guys off that team after Brodeur. It's just, like Colin Campbell said 15 years ago, they're just an interchangeable pack of forwards. But they just keep winning.
I know. They keep Zach Parise off the score sheet. You think you win most nights, but tonight wasn't to be. And the defensive, Mike Motto, the guy was, he's a Ranger retread. The guy was a highly touted guy. He had some injury problems with the Rangers. I think he went to one of the expansion teams back in the day, the Nashville or Atlanta. I don't know. Which one?
Was he a first-round draft pick? No. Not even close. Seventh-round draft pick.
Well, he was one of those guys that was, like, untouchable, like, in the Rangers system, like, you know, half the Rangers. You know, we always seem to kind of overrate our draft picks. And, you know, speaking of Ranger draft picks, does anybody ever mention the following people? Bobby Sanguinetti, Corey Potter, or Michael Sauer? You don't hear anything about those guys at all. I mean, especially Sanguinetti.
Well, I mean, we hear a little bit about Sanguinetti. At least he's bouncing back and forth. But last year after, you know, you'd think you'd hear a little more about Sauer and Potter since they were both up with the team last year. But, yeah, you don't hear anything about those guys anymore.
Yeah. So, And I was interested if P.A. Parentel, we were talking to him, I want to know how he got inside John Tortorella's circle of trust. Because he's one of those guys that he will bring him up. Well, at least he's brought him up. And early in the season, Torch told P.A. he would love to have kept him on the roster. But, you know, he definitely thinks he's an NHL type of player, but he couldn't. And
I believe we have P.A. Parenteau on the phone, 201-257. P.A. Parenteau, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's up? It's me, Rick. I ain't no P.A.
Parenteau. What's going on, Ricky?
I'm more physical in the shower than that guy is.
Ah, come on now.
There we go. Who are you, Mandar, bashing the guests before?
What's going on? Nah, I'm just kidding. See, he's a top, you know, what is that, a 4A player, right?
4A. Yeah, the 4A guy.
That's what I said about Eric Christensen. Now he's looking like, I wouldn't say Gretzky.
I'm really glad you guys put me on. I want to ask you a question about that, actually. I was really upset tonight when I looked at the lineup and I saw they broke up the first line. I thought that Prosper, Christensen, and Gabrick did not have the same oomph as Gabrick, Christensen, and Dubinsky, because that line scored a lot of goals down low the last couple games with Dubinsky taking a beating in front. And nobody on that line was in front of the net tonight at all. And if you watch them play, they played around the outside perimeter all night tonight, and none of the three of them are net crashers.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, probably not. I would agree with you. Prosper's first game back, throwing him right back up there. I would have liked to have seen Christensen up there for another game and kind of ease Prosper back into it. But, you know, I think we all know the Rangers don't do things like most people.
Well, you know, Malf, I think you pointed it out. Most the last couple of weeks, it's like every chance this guy gets to change a line, he does it.
Yeah, he's impetuous. You know, he's got to change the lines. It's overmanaging. It's, you know, in baseball, use baseball terms, it's overmanaging. He overmanages. You know, I don't want to talk about that aberration, whatever how you say it. Earlier in the season, which I always bring back during that nine-game thing where played, all the lines were the same every night. Keep it like that. Why do you got to tinker constantly? And it's hard to knock what he's doing right now, but let's face it, what is he doing different than Tom Rennie wasn't doing? We're basically playing a defensive style of hockey, and hoping that Marion Gabrick gets a goal. I mean,
yeah, I posted
last
that on
year
the
we had Marion Gabrick.
I put that on the message board, Mouth, to start tonight. I said if Rennie had this team, we'd have 10 more points because the defensive system works. We've been winning since we've been back-checking, haven't we?
That's right, and we didn't have a Gabrick last year. You know, we had to, you know, Nicky Sheridev, who turned out to be a total zero last year. And then, you know, we had to depend on Callahan and Dubinsky to score. And they disappeared for games on end. And then later on we got Antropov, but that was pretty much when Tortorella got here. But but still, you put a Tom Rennie team in there with Marion Gabrick, and maybe you got same kind of magic that you had when Yager was here under Rennie. There's a lot to be said, the comparisons, you know, but it is what it is in the vernacular of the day. But, yeah, he needs the toy, and you're right. That first line shouldn't have been broken up, but, you know, who knows? I don't have the answers. I can't get inside that guy's mind. You know, it doesn't make much sense, a lot of the stuff that goes on. Hello, how are you?
They were talking about the Tom Rennie line generator on the chat, and I had to go find the link for them.
I got to say something. This has nothing to do with hockey, but it was such a funny thing. I'm at the movies with my wife last night, right? And we're watching this Up in the Air, the George Clooney movie, right? And I'm sitting there, and where I live, there's a lot of wackos. I mean, an inordinate amount of wackos. Not me, just besides me. But, like, people, like, that are, like, you would think it was their first time out in public. So I'm sitting there, I'm watching the movie with my wife, everything is, is quiet, and they're showing a scene where George Clooney is, he's all, you know, he's by himself. It's a solemn moment. He misses the woman he's involved with. And this lady behind me yells out, "He's so lonely." What the hell? I'm like, lady, this isn't your living room or in a movie theater. And then like 5 minutes later, he opens his, you know, his old, I know I'm right off, I'm off the beaten track here, and there's no way back. There's another scene where he opens up his refrigerator. Because he travels so much, there's a lot of those airplane-sized bottles of liquor, those small ones. And he opens the door, and, you know, the point of the movie is he leads a lonely life at this point. That's why he has the small bottles. But in the corner, there's this just like a jar of A1 steak sauce. And then this lady yells, "A1 steak sauce." I'm like, lady, would you calm down? I'm at a movie. Shut up. And then I get thrown out.
The show has officially hit rock bottom.
A1 steak sauce.
That does it. Out you two pixies go, through the door or out the window.
So, anyway. I just, but, you know, my point was with Rennie, I'm not saying we would be better with Rennie. I'm just saying for all that this hoopla he came in, it basically we're back to square one as far as the way the Rangers play. There's been no innovation. There's been no transformation. So, you know, we're back to Henrik bailing us out. And like Critical said, if we don't get somebody in there, we were talking, you were there, Rick, you talked all this season. We were saying they got to spell this guy 15 games, 20 games. That ain't going to happen. That's not happening. Not on the torch.
Well, no, because now they're in fifth place, so they're gonna wind up making the mad dash for the seventh or eighth playoff spot. So he's gonna play him every night. It's gonna be the same thing as, you know, just like in previous years.
And so that's the scoop with that. Well, you railed on me for telling this stupid story about the movies. What about you guys? What, do you have any comments about anything? What am
I? You want to hear? Actually,
I asked in the chat room if you guys knew who Bob Brooks center was his last year with the Rangers.
Jan Eriksson.
No, Jan Eriksson was his winger who played center.
Ron Greschner.
Wow. Jimmy,
thank you.
Boy.
Thank you very much. And Ron Greschner's going to be on the program.
Yep. And Ron Greschner, officially last night, Paulie D and I have started the Get Number 4 to the Rafters campaign on Facebook, on all the Ranger crap message boards that are out there, because, you know, all of those kids were born in 1989 and only now 1994. They don't believe in any history before that. But it's
That's
time
right.
to get Greschner to the Rafters. And I wanted to bring this up tonight, and I'm glad I'm on early, because I think that you and Jimmy are the guys to lead the charge. We need to have a New York Rangers Fan Hall of Fame website where we can induct players into the Fans Hall of Fame.
Whoa.
And do a yearly vote and induct them and honor them, say, at a dinner or a dinner dance without the Dolans or Glenn Stoner Sather being involved, because they only started hockey in 1994. And Emil Francis and Eddie Jokinen, well, Eddie's up there, but, you know, Gilles Villemure, these guys are never going to be honored because they didn't play on the 94 team. And people like us who are old enough to have been privileged to see it need to step up and do something for those guys.
I like that.
Just the Blue Shirt Banter Hall of Fame. What? Why not? There we go. We throw the power of the network behind it.
I'll go to the dinner.
I mean, we never pass up a chance to go to Ponderosa.
I'm really serious. I think we go out, we get a little website together, and have the voice of the people on this. And, you know, guys like Gresh, who should be honored as a New York Ranger Hall of Famer, and guys should be up in the rafters. The guy leads us in every category other than somebody named Brian Leetch as a defenseman ever. 16 years as a New York Ranger. You know, during the leanest times in the world, this guy went out there, hit, fought, scored, checked, killed penalties, and there's no respect to him. No offense to Adam Graves, but how could you compare Adam Graves to Ron Greschner as far as his history? If you took that cup away, there's really not much to say.
Certainly as far as tenure, I mean, like you said, Greschner, 16 years. I'm looking at his stats, 982 games, played his entire career end-to-end as a Ranger, 179 goals, 431 assists, 420 goal seasons. That was, back in his day, that wasn't a common thing for a defenseman. You know, like you said, you know, in the mid-80s, Sater had him playing a little center at times, so he was, getting a little more scoring. But, he had 27 goals in 1980 and 81 season. He should be. I agree. Let's get it going. Ron Greschner to the rafters.
Yeah. Plus, if you talk to a lot of ex-Rangers, a lot of the guys, like I have and Jim and all of us, really, they will mention Ron Greschner along the way told them something. I think it was Kotze mentioned that Ron told them, you let the first time a guy hits you up high, leaves his feet, that's the last time to hit you. You get him back. And you always hear from these ex-players that Ron really was a mentor to a lot of the Rangers, that played in the 80s and the late 70s. And then Ron's a terrific player, and although he never won a Norris Trophy, certainly I think we could put him on the same parallel or the same bar as Harry Howell. I mean, I didn't see Harry Howell play all that much. I mean, only what I've seen was on video. But Ron Greschner could dominate a game when he wanted to offensively. He was.
I remember that playoff series, Mal. He went into Philadelphia in 79 and single-handedly beat the Flyers, going end-to-end with the puck and scoring goals. I think he's a victim of he wasn't the best defenseman in New York at the time. And that's why I think he's so greatly overlooked,
right,
was because of Dennis Potvin. But if Potvin wasn't in New York, Ron Greschner would have been stealing all the headlines in the NHL. And I get the smart, comments from the people over at HF that, the guy's a one-time all-star. Yeah, but you know what? The NHL was different back then. The NHL wasn't as expanded as it is now and watered down, where there's 30-something teams and 90% of the guys on the fourth line shouldn't even be in the league at this time. You had fourth line guys scoring 30 goals in Boston and Philadelphia back in those days.
Right. And the guys that were ahead of him, like, say, who made the All-Star team, those guys are in the Hall of Fame.
Larry Robinson, Dennis Potvin, Bobby
Orr. Claude. I mean, all those guys. I mean, you make a great point there, and hopefully that would be a great idea to get that together, because I think these, just from talking to Ulf Nielsen, and I'm not gonna, I'm not disparaging the book that the 100 Ranger greats, but I'm talking with Ulf Nielsen, and he's saying, I belong in this book. He's like, why am I not in this book? And again, it's just that these guys have a lot of pride, and they still do, and they really would need to be honored. And like we said before, and said it too, 1994 was not the be-all and end-all of the New York Rangers. There's a lot more history that goes on. And now, are we so boring they're talking about snuggies in the freaking chat room? I mean, come on!
I mean, Ron Greschner, you can make, before Brian Leetch came along, in my opinion, he's the heart and soul of the Rangers, right? For the 80s.
Right.
I mean, he was there for the whole decade. He was captain for a couple of seasons. He had a hot wife. What more do you want?
In the house, right?
Yeah, now he's got five kids. He's in the...
That same Bob Brook game that I was at, that playoff game, I was sitting down behind the goal. My dad used to get tickets down there, and they were right behind where Carol Alt used to sit. And I got that was the night I got to meet her. Same game.
Oh, that's right. Wow. And Ricky, you have a good story about Ron Gresham, right, out in the
with his mom.
Right?
Yeah, we used to go to the Meadowlands, and the teams would drive in, and they didn't have a designated parking spot. They would have to park in the lot. So we would cut school in high school and go hang out all day long and wait for the Rangers to show up. And Carol Alt showed up with Gresham's mom as a surprise, and Alt had separate tickets and actually sit with Gresham's mom the whole game. And then when the game was over, Ron saw his mom was there, and Carol, you know, they were outside and we were hanging out, and Gresham had a Jeep with monster tires on it and couldn't get his mother up in the Jeep, so he called us over, a bunch of kids, and was like, this is our idol. And he's like, could you help me get my mother into the Jeep? And we were standing there trying to pick his mom up on these, like, 24-inch tires and force her into this Jeep. And it was just a funny situation, but it's one of those things that only a Ranger fan could appreciate, cutting school and hanging out with Gresham's mom.
Yeah.
I have a great Ron Gresham story as well, but I'm going to save it for when we have him on. I'll save it.
Is this not another one of your tear-jerker stories where you told Chris Kostopoulos, your dad, that we got his autograph and you cried and...
I didn't say anything about crying.
It was a little House of the Prairie moment, Jim.
It's a good story. And,
Jim,
and,
did Barry
and every,
Beckham come over and blow your nose?
Not with that bad shoulder of his, he didn't.
Oh. Hey, Mal, do you remember when Gresham got his ear cut off at the Garden?
That I don't remember, no.
When he got hit with the skate, he threw a check and the skate came up and cut his ear. And he came back playing with a side piece on his helmet, and he didn't even miss a game. They had like 100 stitches in his ear.
That I vaguely remember that, but that's a memory that, wow, Jesus. What are you taking, that jinkahoba to whatever that stuff is, to freaking remember all this stuff? You're getting a great memory.
If the Rangers were a school subject, I would actually graduate.
Jinkahoba.
I don't know. What is that stuff?
Oh, that was the old Braves mascot, Nakahoma. You remember that?
Jesus.
When he told Joe Patterson about Archie the Gorilla, Joe Patterson was like, what, yo?
But that was funny. That was funny.
No, it was funny when I brought up Uncle Tony's and he ran away.
I was never there. His wife was probably on the other line when you told that story. Wife was sitting there listening to the show. She's looking at him. Anyway, we got less than an hour to go. I don't know what's going on as far as Mitch Beck and P.A. Parenteau. What can I tell you? What's that? He's what?
He's like, what can I tell you? I don't know what's going on.
I didn't hear what you said. Before.
No, they want to. They want, in the chat room. They're clamoring to talk about Burroughs and this whole thing with the refs and the. I mean, listen. Do you think this referee, this French guy, I don't even know his name. Do you think he really has it out for this guy Burroughs? The officiating stinks all around. Do you think they're just picking this guy?
It does seem like an odd choice.
I mean, seriously, Sean Avery. There should be a Sean Avery scandal.
They're all
Sean Avery. I mean, let's face it. Sean Avery gets jobbed for the last two or three years. So, I mean, I fault Burroughs for saying anything. Just, no good can come of it. You say this, you're burying yourself. Every referee in the league is going to be after this guy now. You know,
you see what Paulie D is saying in the chat room? Is this a hockey show?
Yeah, it's supposed to his show. him and Cotty arguing like two yentas the whole show.
Meanwhile, Paulie D's on hold.
Yeah. They don't really argue, actually. Cotty tells Paulie what to think, and then Paulie goes, absolutely. And that's the whole show.
Now I gotta bring him on. Wait, hold on. Wait.
All right, you be Paulie D. I'll be Paulie D. All right.
You're right, Cotty.
You're absolutely right, Godspeed.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that the Rangers defense back fit. All right? You
You're
got me, Paulie?
Right,
and that's the
You're
show. You got a show,
right,
there.
Godspeed. You're absolutely right, Godspeed. The check's in the mail, Godspeed. Welcome to the program, Paulie D.
Paulie!
Hi, you know what, man? I'm coming for both of your asses. Yeah, I am coming. I'm coming to Phoenix. I'm coming to Long Island. It's not going to be pretty. Hey, is this a hockey show? What are you guys doing around here? Mouth's talking about the movies and the crazy lady sitting next to him. What the hell are you guys doing today?
Well, first of all, the Rangers are playing well, so we don't have a whole lot to bitch about. I mean, that's us. I'm sure you have 100 things to bitch about, because you always do. But, you know, that's us. We're in a good mood. The Rangers are playing well. We're trying to enjoy it and have a little fun. And then here you come, Debbie Downer. Here he comes. Is this a hockey? Here he comes. Paulie D. Here he comes. Ready? Here he comes.
Oh,
go.
Boy.
And go,
right.
Paulie D.
I don't think Paulie's Debbie Down. I think Paulie's happy tonight. Paulie, you
I
happy
am.
With the separate? What did you see that got you so ecstatic?
Well, first of all, at least I stopped by the show. That's the first thing I'm going to say.
Oh,
second
a dagger in my heart, my friend.
You are a bum.
At least I stopped by the show. I'll tell you what, man. I thought the Rangers played a really good, solid game tonight. I think they were probably one of their most physical games. They were banging. I was very impressed with Brian Boyle. Threw a couple of nice, really big hits. Defended the puck well, except for that breakaway. That would have been great if he would have put it in the net. But, yeah, there's a lot to be excited about because I think this team is starting to gel as a team. I thought they played some good damn hockey tonight. I just, you know, I think Gabrick had a couple chances. But, I'm going to disagree with you guys, too. I thought the Dubinsky with Callahan and Drury, I thought that was a good line.
Well,
I don't even know if we should continue doing this show now if Paulie's in a good mood.
No,
if Paulie's excited.
Paulie's done up. No, listen. Paulie has been coming around. Now, you know, Paulie was, he wanted to hang Tortorella like 3 weeks ago. Now, he's back with Tortorella. They're on friendly terms, and everything's going good. Now,
they're Facebook friends.
They're Facebook friends. Oh, you're a friend of them, huh? But I wanted to ask you, what was Kotze's take, since we both weren't on the show last night? What was Kotze's take on the Rangers play of late?
Yeah, keep swinging for the fences, Mouth. You're doing a great job. Listen, you guys can say what you want about Kotze, but I'll tell you what, he's a great man, and he's an excellent hockey mind, and the fans
love
him, so.
We love Kotze.
We're busting your balls, not his.
Yeah, I know. Because he's smart enough not to come by the program here.
Oh, that's not true.
Either a standing parasol, where is he? Come on! Let's get PA on the phone. Somebody call Mitch Beck. All right, anyway. Well, it happens. It's live internet radio. And
not a finger!
We're not paying any guests, so you know. You never know. Maybe we should have gotten, I know Rick Yost's big favorite of, who was the guy we had earlier up on the team? The Rangers, the bruising guy.
Dane Byers.
Yeah, maybe we should try to get Dane Byers. Dane Byers would come in here and shake things up. But, again, now I got two guys here who like the physical part of the game. Was that a physical game today?
That was a great game to watch.
I thought so. Absolutely.
You thought it was physical?
Absolutely. I thought we hit everybody that we could. I was very impressed with the overall positional game, and just the team philosophy really looked good, sharp, real sharp tonight. I was very impressed. I thought it was very physical. Absolutely. I thought guys were throwing their body. I think everybody on the team tonight actually finished their checks, even Kotalik.
Yeah.
For the three times that he played on the ice.
What is up with that?
I thought Brashear played a great game, too.
So did I.
Did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He finally showed up. I mean, he was, you know, hitting people, winning the battles in the corner and getting the puck and, you know, passing. And he was doing everything he was supposed to. But it does seem like a lot of guys get really there's a heavy weight to put upon them with playing time. And other guys, they get dressed, but they see no ice time relative to the other guys.
I think Cody coughed up the puck one time. And Tortorella benched him from there. But I'll tell you what, I was very I really want to know your opinion. I want to know what you thought about tonight's game. I thought they played hard. I thought they played very smart. One of the big things that they showed me tonight that they've always struggled with is the Devils probably the best team in the world that play the 1-2-2 or whatever you want to call it. You want to call it a type of trap or whatever, but it's tough to get a good, solid pass through the neutral zone when a team plays a 1-2-2 the way the Devils do. And I thought the Rangers really did not turn the puck over the way they usually do in the neutral zone
right. In
this game. I was very impressed with the passing. All the way around, I thought every player did their job tonight very well.
I think it was their most focused.
That's a good way to put it.
And we said at the top, I thought it was the most focused game they played as a team all year. You throw all the scores out, the 8-2 wins or whatever that they had and earlier in the season and the whole bit. But I thought it was their most focused game, and you hit the nail on the head when you said every player finished their checks. It was a team effort tonight to the man. And that's what I was impressed with. That's why I'm not crazy they didn't get the 2 points. Because if this is a trend and they are coming together as a team mentally off the ice and on the ice, then things can only get better. And apparently, let's just hope they can can't let the other team get 40 shots on net. The Devils,
but,
I don't know.
I want to ask you guys this. And, I beg to differ with the versus Eddie Olczyk. I didn't really think the Devils had sweet quality chances against Henrik Lundqvist. I think both teams did everything they could to put every possible puck on the net whenever the opportunity arised, which was, you know, absolute execution of both game plans. But I didn't think there were stellar opportunities against Henrik Lundqvist.
No, I thought Lundqvist had to make the tougher saves tonight, that's for sure.
I'll tell you
what,
Eddie Olczyk auditioned when he retired as a player as a radio announcer for the Rangers and got about 3 games, and he was let go. And he has been as bitter as any announcer in the NHL.
You're right.
The New York Rangers, as anyone in the game. And he has not hesitate, whether it's on NBC or Versus, to take a shot at the New York Rangers or their organization or their weak this and their weak that. He turned that game tonight by saying, well, Henrik Lundqvist started a game because he tried to say the Devils had outworked the Rangers in that game. That was his little dig, and he could not have been more wrong.
Right.
All right. This just in. Somebody give me the news update noise, music. I'll do it. This in just from Mitch Beck. I got the email. I spaced. That's the subject. With the game going the way it is and all the bleep that's going on, I totally spaced and forgot the show tonight. PA is going to be here at my house tomorrow night. You want to do it then? Totally my bad and totally unprofessional on my part, and I apologize. What a douche. What a douche.
Hey, Mouth, he's outgrown himself, huh?
He's wearing out his welcome here. Come on, you space. We got chat people waiting here all around the country. And this guy wants me tomorrow night. We got book guests. We got me and Jim on Bob Brook. We got this Ruben Steve. What a goober. All right. So there's it. There it is. No PA Parento. But stay tuned, folks, because right now we have Ricky and Pauly D on the line. No, Pauly, so let me get back to your point. I, again, thought it was focused. I loved the way they played. And, you know, let's hope that they can keep it together. And it's not just, you know, it's just they play the devil as well. And, you know, it's funny that Ricky said that, because I have a story about Ed Olczyk. I met him at the Nassau Coliseum about 3 years ago. It was a Ranger on the game. And I went up to him. He had just come down. He had done the broadcast on Versus. And I went up to him. I said, Eddie O, man, thanks for 94. And he went, shh, don't say too loud in this building. And he looked like he wasn't happy. Like he wasn't, he didn't really, I don't want to say like he was blowing me off, which I think he was. But he wasn't happy about the cup win. He wasn't proud to be part of that Ranger team. And now that Ricky says that, this kind of makes sense now.
He's one of the five worst trades in the history of the Rangers.
Yeah, well, Domi and Chris King.
Domi and King go on to have great careers for 10 years after the idiot's gone, and he puts horse food in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I remember when I went to, when they had the Stanley Cup and they were bringing it, now we sound like MSG talking about the Stanley Cup, but they were bringing it around. Remember all the, like, they had it, I think it was Belmont. They had a Belmont racetrack, and you could go there and see, and Eddie O was there. And I was making fun of him from afar. I was saying, you'll be on San Jose next year. You know, whatever it was. And it, I think he definitely has something against the Rangers. He's very biased pronounced when it comes to the Ranger game. And, you know, again, how could you say the Devils didn't get a lot of second-chance shots, and I thought that was the key to the game. And Henrik had a little problem with the rebounds early on. He was kicking out. He makes that save, but sometimes he gets too confident. He kicks that puck out. But luckily, the Ranger defensemen were in position, or the forwards were in position to pick that puck. And also the Rangers, again, like Paulie said, they have trouble when people clog that neutral zone, getting that puck in the zone. Anytime you put pressure on the Rangers to make a play, it usually, you know, it's a time bomb, explodes. But they did a great point part in breaking that neutral zone trap, or whatever you want to call it, and chipping that puck in and getting it deep. And I thought that was a big key.
Well, what do you
Mitch
think,
Beck.
Jim?
Mitch Beck.
You there, Jim?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Jim, what are you doing? You watching Family Guy? I mean, we're doing a show here.
I was reading the. I'm sorry. I was following the chat room. They're talking about Jess, and I was trying to figure out what's going on and checking our schedule for tomorrow night. I apologize.
Who's mad at Jess? I remember Jess. I love Jess. Mitch Beck.
Mitch Beck blew me off on Facebook, Mouth.
Oh,
you
nice.
Really? You can't be Mitch Beck.
I was on there the other day.
Thing.
I asked him the other day if he was coming to the game for the Hartford Wolfpack, where Diomede actually did win his fight against Robitaille, which he called on your show. I asked him, are you going to the game tonight? And he goes, they refused me press credentials. I am not going. I go, oh, I'm going to be there. He goes, listen, I'm really busy. I can't talk to you. Click.
Wow.
Mitch, superstar Beck.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, he's huge.
All right, so Paulie D, so let's talk some hockey. What do you think about this Burrows thing?
I tell you what, Mouth. You know, I read the article. I got to be honest with you. I mean, if you think about it in the world of hockey, and I've asked this question many times, who really governs these guys, and how effective are they? You know, I asked Kotze, too. I said, Kotze, anything like – I sent him the article. I said, anything like this ever happened? He said, no, but it doesn't surprise me. And I got to be honest, you know, that makes sense. If you read the article, it makes sense to me that, you know, the referees, when they want, I mean, if they, you know, if they want to use that kind of blackmail, they more likely can get away with it. I mean, how are they going to prove, first of all, that what Burroughs is saying is true? Even if it's 100% true, how are they going to prove it? You know, where it's just, I believe the story. If I had to believe somebody, I would believe the player over the referee. I think the referee, you know, I think they have a lot more power than people give them credit for, or whatever, you know, whatever you want to say. Listen, and I'm not going to use any bad words here, but if a referee's got it out for you, I'm sure he can pick on you, and I'm sure he'll let you know about it. We've seen it with Sean Avery. And I think that's more so, and, you know, you talk about players that just have reputations that I think referees pick on, more or less. And I think Colin Campbell does the same. Look at the suspension he throws at George LaRocque because he's a repeat offender. He throws his leg out. That's not half as bad as some of the elbows that I've seen out there, or some of the just – look at the hit on Drury. Glenn Cross gets 3 games for just a hit out of nowhere, the unsuspecting player. So, yeah, I think it holds a lot of merit, Mouth. The problem is I don't think that anyone's really going to be able to prove it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
if you read Theo Fleury's book, he always felt Kerry Fraser had it out for him.
But was he smart enough not to say anything to him is the question. You know,
who knows with Theo? He was
No. I mean, Kerry Fraser. Was he smart enough? You know, there's no doubt that a referee can have a vendetta against a player. And, I mean, if they're smart enough, which probably 95% of them are, they don't have to tell the player they're out for them.
Right.
They can just do what they have to do and say, listen, this is how I justified the call. But, you know, to be dumb enough to say, you know, you made me look bad, I'm coming for you. And who knows what the words were that got, you know, that were transpired or whatever happened. But, you know, I mean, I don't doubt it's, and I don't doubt it happened, and I don't doubt it's the first time ever.
Yeah, no, you know, and all, you know, this sort of happens even in the workplace. You know, there's somebody, maybe an authority figure, somebody higher than you. They have it out for you, but they're not going to tell you. I mean, you know, they're going to keep it under wraps, and, you know, and that could be it. I mean, why, though? Well, maybe you guys give me some background on this, because I just saw the latter half of this story. Now, what was the incident, the previous incident that started this all off? There was something that what was the statement that Burroughs is accusing the ref of making?
In a previous game, apparently, now, the way it's been put to me, the way it's been explained to me, is that the referees, believe it or not, which I find it very hard to believe, do get reviewed after a certain amount of games. And usually have some type of board meetings and meetings about specific calls that they're making or not making. The bottom line is, I guess Burroughs was used as an example against this specific referee in a specific incident that made the referee look bad, whether good, whether right, wrong, or in between. That's what I gathered. And he let Burroughs know, you made me look bad, and whatever specific incident I think it was against the Wild or Nashville, or it was a specific game that he had refereed and something that had transpired.
That's
what happened from there.
Okay, I'm reading the chat room, and our chat room, of course, is on the ball about this issue. Burroughs feigned an injury on a hit he took, so Auger gave him a game misconduct, and Burroughs said he wasn't really hurt, and then he took a dive, and that he made Auger look stupid. That's Jackie Lomba said that. So apparently, I guess that's what precipitated this whole thing. I kind of got the gist, but, you know, it's Vancouver. I'm all hyped up for the Ranger-Devil game. I kind of brushed it aside, but, you know,
But the refereeing stinks in this league. I've said it over and over. Wrestling referees have more integrity sometimes, it seems. So, like you said, these guys are going to keep it under wraps.
Dave Hefner had more integrity.
There you go, crapping on my profession again.
Listen, I love wrestling.
He complimented them.
I think they have more credibility. I remember the old...
And I even dropped the name Dave Hefner.
Dave and Earl
and
Hefner.
I want to say, I patterned my radio career after a wrestler. Would you like to know who that is?
Who's that?
Frank Williams.
Frankie Williams. First guest ever on Piper's Pit.
Yeah, you remember that? How come you never win a match?
You're insane.
I am a fountain of useless information.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you, you fit right in here, but tonight I'm telling you, this PA Paratuff thing is throwing me for a loop, fan.
Hey, now, if you want to hear a good story about an NHL linesman, I'm not going to give his name out because I don't want to get him in any, heat, but he's retired now. He's a Bergen County, New Jersey guy. He used to come into a bar all the time that I used to work at, and this subject came up. And his answer was, he goes, you personally get grudges against different guys and things happen and some guys are yappers and some guys curse at you and some guys are really mean and other guys will sign 20 sticks at Christmas and hand one to everyone. He was talking about Gretzky at the time and he said that. And he goes, you know what, as a linesman, he goes, every once in a while one of these guys gets in a fight. And he goes, if somebody's right hand isn't tied up and they take an extra one, you know what, it happens on accident. And that was his answer on something like that.
Ah, trying to think who it would be. You know who I think it is, but I won't say who it is. But I think
gruesome injury, and then you'll figure it out.
Yeah, I know that. I know it. The guy,
Patty
DeBluzzo. Yeah, girl used to walk around the garden with his jersey on all the time. I remember that in the ref jersey. Pat DeBluzzo, huh? What you said, New Jersey? I knew who it was. But it happens once in a while, and I don't know. Who knows? Jim, what do you think about this? Talk. Speak.
I said my piece on it. I think, sure, of course, the referee, it's human nature. The referees are, certain guys are going to like and dislike, but whether or not this guy's got a personal vendetta against them, it's very hard to prove, like Paulie said. And, I just think, out of all the guys he's going to pick, this guy, Burroughs just seems kind of ridiculous. And the officiating stinks anyway.
Terrible.
It has for 20 years at least.
And Mr. French was right.
Buffy and
Jody? Buffy and Jody, Mr. French.
Sebastian Cabot.
Yep, Sebastian Cabot. Paulie doesn't even know what we're talking about right now. He doesn't know anything we're talking about. I'm saying Sebastian Cabot. He thinks he's the backup goalie for the Penguins. But seriously, folks, he's right. Ever since the one referee system, that was at least you knew what you were getting. You could kind of adjust your play to whatever referee. I mean, if you had Bruce Hood, you could do anything short of murder out there. And if Kerry Frazier was out there, he's going to want to be the show. And
Don Krahowski would always be in the way.
Right, Terry Frazier is one of what I used to call the impact officiator. He had to be part of the game. He had to be impact, and you're right. Krahowski would always be in the way, and we know the famous quote that goes with him. And I like the one referee system better, but we can't go backwards as much as we'd like to. The two referees, and on that one play where the Rangers got nabbed for two penalties, two different referees called that. One referee called the mysterious
2 minutes for hitting,
2 minutes for hitting for being physical, and then the other mystery penalty. What was that other penalty?
Dubinsky slashing.
Yeah, well, that actually was a penalty. I'll give you that, but that Christensen call was terrible. Those announcers should have been all over that. And no, Eddie Olczyk, wonderful call. No, I think he actually did say that. I think he said a question call later on. But so a big night for the Rangers. Again, another point. The upcoming schedule looks like what, folks?
Ottawa on Thursday.
When?
then off to St. Louis on Saturday evening.
Loss.
And then home for Montreal on Sunday night.
Is that
Listen,
Scott
those are
home?
6 points that we can. We I think that we should obtain if we play the way we played tonight.
Well, yeah, they play the way they play tonight. It's looking good. It's looking like roses.
You know, I
and,
really thought tonight was a measuring stick for the New York Rangers. That's really what I said. I think we can all agree about that. I think the Rangers really had to use this game as a measuring stick on where they're going to move, whether it be forward or backward. And I think they measured up pretty well. I think they did pretty decent. You know, aside from not putting the puck in the net, which, you know, we have to address that problem. But I think against any other goalie, any other team, we score a couple of goals.
Yeah. Oh, and you know what? Sunday night is the triumphant return of Scotty Gomez.
That's what I was going to say. Is this the first? And Chris Higgins played against his old team, right? This is the first time they met this year?
No, they played up in Montreal, didn't they already?
I don't know.
Yeah, we lost to Montreal in overtime, didn't we?
I thought we did, too,
yeah.
October 24th, overtime loss 5-4.
Ah,
but
right,
this is
oh, that's
Scotty
when we
Gomez.
The 3-goal lead.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And so now these, do you think the fans are going to welcome him with cheers for his great years of service as Ranger, or of course the Bronx?
I don't think he'll get a tribute video.
I don't think he'll get food.
MSG loves to put together those tribute videos, you know, when Leach came back and Graves, when he came back. I don't expect to see one Sunday night before the game.
Yeah, but I don't think so.
All right, well, what?
How long have you been a Ranger?
Let me ask the chat room. If you're at the game and you're there when the Rangers play the Canadians, are you booing or are you cheering or are you apathetic? You don't care. You're booing. Who's boo? Type boo. I want Paulie. Are you booing? Are you cheering? Are you apathetic?
I don't care either way. I mean, I'm not going to boo. I'm not going to cheer him. I just don't care either way. I mean, I thought he was a good New York Ranger. Jackie's
right.
Booing Gomez.
All right, Jackie's booing.
I don't boo anybody on the team. I didn't boo Tom Pody, and I couldn't stand him. I don't boo Wayne Redden, and I can't stand him.
He's not on the team anymore, Paulie.
Not on the team. I would boo Gomez first time on the ice, probably, you know, yell a derisive chant, and then get thrown out.
All right. And how about you, Ricky?
I wouldn't boo him at all. I mean, I just wouldn't boo him because a story Kotze told me a couple months ago that Gomez didn't let it out but played probably three-quarters of the season last year with a broken foot. And really, you know, if the guy did that and he kept it quiet and he never used it as a crutch.
Yeah, but, you know, Kotze loves to talk about Gomez because Gomez flew him up there for that dinner in Alaska. We all know that. He got a free dinner and a trip out of it.
He's on the Gomez payroll.
He's on the Gomez payroll. Tell Kotze I said that.
Ricky would just steal Gomez's toupee.
Absolutely. And I got a Pat Verbeek story for you guys one day too, which is even better than the Billy Smith story. I told you that one, right, Mouth?
Yeah, that's a good one. Save it for another time. Unless you want him to do it now.
Well, I don't want to forget this. Before we can get to it, but I wanted to tell you guys. I got a funny story about one of our favorites at MSG.
Go ahead.
The Maven. It's a Maven related story.
Uh-oh. Maven?
No, not DB Maven. DB Maven, by the way, is on vacation, in case anyone was wondering. He should be returning. I don't know. He didn't. I don't think he wanted anybody to know where he was going.
Okay.
He's. Yeah, this is about the Maven. One of our writers, Nick, who we've had on the show, he got an email from someone. I don't know if it was directly from Stan Fischler or one of his underlings, but Stan wanted Nick, our writer, to write for him, and sent Nick his phone number to call him and discuss it. And so Nick calls him on the phone and says that Stan tells him that he's got the Rangers covered, but he wants Nick to do all his writing for the NHL. I'm sorry, I just read a private message that was funny. He wants Nick to do all his writing for the NHL, and Nick said he was really nasty to him, and basically, you know, Nick told him, no thanks, I'm not interested, and Maven hung up on him.
Now, didn't I say this months ago that I believed that Stan Fischer was tweeting and it wasn't him, and all this stuff that he does on the internet is not him, and it's true, and he's a bastard to boot. Stan Fishface, you're not going to get away with this. You don't have an invite on this show.
Applesauce.
And you're tossed. You're out of here. And I wish you a week in the same room with Mitch Beck. That's how much avarice I have for you right at this point.
I think I told you guys the story about how at the – when the Rangers drafted Chris Kreider, and he did this big long article on MSG saying how he was at the draft and had sat down with Chris Kreider and blah, blah, you know, wrote this whole interview, and he wasn't at the draft. And I responded on his blog. I'm like,
right, yeah.
You weren't at the draft. I know you weren't at the draft. Stop BSing the people. You weren't there. But he never responded to that. So, yeah, I don't know if, you know, he had his people up there and they might have interviewed Kreider, but I can tell you that I was there for 2 days and Stan Fischler was nowhere to be seen.
What a crock of crap. I mean, really, seriously. I'm sure he wasn't going to pay Nick to do this job, right? I mean, right? He wasn't going to pay Nick, right?
No, there was no – I don't believe there was any pay involved. And you know what's funny? You ever watch – I know, Eddie, you watch NHL Live. You guys watch NHL Live when Stan Fischler's on there. Have you ever noticed all the people he mentions on that show that used to be one of his interns? The guy's had more interns than the Howard Stern show. He's a one-man band, but he's got like 100 interns. Have you ever heard of – it seems like everybody he talks about, oh, he was an intern of mine back in 1947.
He hasn't written anything by himself for 50 years. He's got Nick. Guys like Nick from Blue Shirt Banter writing all his stuff. Ah, God.
Yeah, meanwhile, Nick is 16 years old.
He got turned down by a 16-year-old.
Yeah, and Nick's a great writer, and we love having him on the site. I just think, you know, I don't know. I think it's funny that you know, Stan's ready to turn over the Maven NHL empire to Nick from Blue Shirt Banter.
He used to do the pregame show for the Islanders, and it looked like he was in his house when he used to do it, and I actually, you talk about interns, I was at a college radio station on a sports program, and I was talking to the girl who was an intern for him, and she said that he would do those things, you know, with the jacket and tie and no pants, like sitting on it. They would just film him from, like, you know, from the shirt up. And he'd be, like, wearing shorts or what have you. I mean, this guy.
I was watching NHL Live the other day, and he was on with Deb Kaufman.
Oh,
and
no.
My wife comes in, and she sits down, and she's sitting there watching it for a few minutes, and she's listening to him talk, and she says, "Who the hell is this guy?" I said, "That's Stan Fischer." He says, "How old is he?" I said, "He's pretty old." And she says, "He looks like a corpse."
Well, he gets a little excitable around Deb. He gets all a little, he gets a little vibrant.
You're insane, man. What are we doing?
I'm serious, Paul. You ever watch the show? You ever tape
the
show?
Pool, Wilford Brimley in Cocoon.
She drives me nuts. I can't watch her. I'm sorry. She drives me nuts. I can't watch her.
Why?
She annoys me on the show. Especially when she's got Dave on, too. Oh, my God. Because I don't want to sound like a jerk, but you know what? There's so many people that would do that job so much better than her, and that's all I can say.
I think
she would do it better.
You don't think she's knowledgeable?
No. Not at all. I think she's horrible. I think she has the same old... I didn't want to get into it. I don't watch it. Because she drives me nuts. And
Next week on the Paulie D Show, I could never stand
her. I couldn't stand her when she did the MSG Sports Desk. I couldn't stand her when she was Deb Kaufman, not Deb Placey.
All right. If you had a choice between her or Mitch Beck, Deb is okay. Even though she blew me off in person, I think he thought I was psychotic. So she must have good sensibilities. But
she's a good judge of character, something else.
She's a good judge of character. Maybe not so hot as a sportscaster, but it seems like she's. I don't know. You know, Paul, she's not going to talk like X's and O's like you are. So maybe that's where you guys don't get it. She does ask a lot of generic questions. But she does seem informed about the players on other teams, which she does do her research.
I'll agree with that.
I'm not championing Deb Placey, to tell you. If we lost her in the hockey world, I could care less.
I just think there's so many people out there who love that job better.
Fuck yourself.
All right, We got 17 minutes left of the show, our PA Parento-less show. If you guys want to call in 646-478-4692 and join in on the fun. No Mandar tonight. I guess maybe we're too late for him. Maybe he's asleep already. But, if you guys want to get in on the fun, then by all means, give us a call. And don't forget, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, we'll be on the air with Jess Rubenstein from the Prospect Park. And then former New York Ranger Bob Brook will join us after Jess. And then in the weeks ahead. Oh, yeah. And then in the weeks ahead, we have Ron Greshner and James Patrick coming up. And we'll get Emil Francis in somewhere along the way as well. He's going to come back on with us. So plenty of guests. Our cavalcade of guests continues with or without Mitch Beck. And his band of AHL superstars.
Yeah, I don't think Walker. Well, don't hold it against PA.
Don't hold it against PA.
Yeah, no, he has nothing to do with this. I mean, it's our fault, and sometimes it happens. Let's go, let's give Mitch Beck the benefit of the doubt. Although that's kind of hard, but still, things happen. Things get screwed up. He got caught up watching the game, and he just didn't feel like calling PA up. I got to watch this shootout. So anyway,
as far as Mitch Beck being available with PA Parento coming to his house for dinner tomorrow night, I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. I don't know. We don't want to rush Jess or Bob Brook, and we don't want to have to just
try and squeeze
them in. So we'll figure it out. But anyway. That's for tomorrow night. And then, like I said, we got some other guests coming up in the weeks ahead. Plenty to talk about. And then I'm also looking forward to getting Bob Brooks' thoughts on the Olympics. This should be interesting.
Yeah.
What is your thought on the Olympics, Mouth? What do you think, man?
Ridiculous. I know, Paulie, I know you love, you want to be, you're an advocate of the sport, and I am to some degree. But no league stops their league in the middle of this season to entertain this thing.
I agree with that.
That's the thing that bothers me.
Right.
You don't stop your season to this is just, how desperate are we to get people on the, to get TV coverage of this sport? That will stop the league. Again, it's just one of Bettman's ridiculous things that he's put in place that just, it mystifies me.
I'm against the professionals in the Olympics just because, I like the idea of the amateurs play in the Olympics. It's more fun when they're underdogs, they're amateurs. It's just, to me, it's more interesting when it's not professionals. And I just don't think that Team USA as professionals, they don't take it as seriously as other countries like the amateurs do, to teams like Canada and even, the Czech Republic and Sweden. It's a matter of national pride for them, and I don't get that same feeling from the guys that play for USA. And I just think it's more fun when they're amateurs and you root for their kids, and
right,
there's enthusiasm and it's exciting. How exciting were those World Juniors last week? How great was that?
Yep.
To see how excited those kids were. It was you love cheering for them. It's like, you watch the Little League World Series and you just, the innocence of kids winning and achieving that. And when it's professionals, it's like, to me, it's just not the same. The only bonus, I guess, is watching teams like the Czech Republic and Sweden, and you get to see some players that aren't in the NHL that you might never have heard of otherwise. But other than that, I'm not a fan at all of the professional players in the Olympics.
Right. What's your take, Paulie?
I definitely agree on that point. I've said it before, too. I would love to see, new names, new kids, and absolutely the World Juniors was fantastic. It was hockey heaven for me, because I love tournament and play. I think it's so much fun. I love the tournament and play. But on the other hand, you have a venue here where you have the greatest hockey players known right now in the world playing in a tournament event. And, that is exciting. It's exciting for fans like myself because I am an advocate for the game. I love the game of hockey. And, I agree. Listen, I agree on the whole aspect that I hate the fact that the league has to shut down. I hate the fact that, that there's a lot of risk involved for many players, especially for the team that we love in the New York Rangers. But at the same time, I think it's great for the game of hockey. Hockey's a desperate game right now, and I think, the World Juniors, for one, really helped if your area gave you any publicity for it, which I had discussed yesterday. I was sick over it. Many areas throughout the U.S., people don't even know your kids won a gold medal. That kills
right.
me. But I don't want to get too far off point, but I think this game really needs stuff like this. The Winter Classic's nice, and now, the Olympics, it's big for the game. And what are the venue are you going to have where you have the greatest players in all the world competing together in such a tight-knit, tournament? So that's what I enjoy about it. And I think Team Russia is just stacked. So look out.
I still go back to those 98 games in Nagano, which I'm pretty sure that was the first time the professionals had done it. And the USA completely embarrassed themselves on and off the ice.
Oh, yeah.
But you had that great Czech Republic team. That Czech Republic Canada, I believe it was the Czech Republic and Canada playing for the gold medal. That was some of the best hockey you'll ever see. It just doesn't mean as much to an American professional. And I just, you know, that's just my opinion. I just don't think they don't have the national pride that these other teams do in the Olympics. And, you know, you wind up getting more excited to watch the other countries than you do your own. I don't know. I think it takes away from what the Olympics are really all about. And like Eddie said, it's just a bad idea to shut your game down for 2 weeks, risk all your players to injury. And, you know, the last time the Rangers went through the Olympics, Henrik came back exhausted, and, you know, hopefully him being in the same, at least in the same continent, will help this time. But, you know, I like watching the hockey, but overall, I'd still rather see the amateurs in there.
Ricky, when do you weigh on this?
I think it's another Bettman joke that you take, you know, just for an example, take the two greatest goalies, three greatest goalies in the league right now. I would say Luongo, Brodeur, and Lundqvist. Any of the three of them could be injured at any time during this tournament and cost their team not only a playoff bid, but a Stanley Cup in a major metropolitan city here in the tri-state area and a major venue in Canada, and the game is hurting for superstars, and we're risking them needlessly in the middle of a season. It's just a joke. It's Gary Bettman, another step in what I think he's done to ruin the NHL, and I'm dead set against it. I would rather see 18-year-old college kids, or I'd rather see kids that were on that, you know, just the 80 team is the best example of it. Nobody's been as proud as a nation about an Olympic hockey team since then or before then, and it was because of the fact there were kids that none of us knew who they were, and they won a gold.
Right.
Watching Henrik Lundqvist win a gold doesn't turn me on. It's not a great feeling. It's, okay, he did it. He's a professional getting paid $7 million a year. He should win it.
Right. I mean, let's give you the situation. USA wins the gold. How much cred is that going to give that this Olympics in the USA as far as hockey goes? Do you think it's going to be widely covered if they win? As opposed to, let me just finish this, as opposed to if it was a bunch of young kids winning it, amateurs winning it, wouldn't it get more focused for hockey?
If the kids win it or if the pros win it?
Yeah, as opposed to, if the kids won it.
I think it's better. You're rooting for an underdog. You know, it's great when you watch the exuberance and everything. The professionals, it just doesn't have the same. I don't think it has the same feeling. And like Ricky said, you know, the USA wins it and it'll be okay, great, they won, and now what? You know, it just won't have the, you know, that 80 Olympic team. Most of those guys did not go on to any kind of NHL career, but most any hockey fan over the age of 35 could name you at least 10 guys off of that team.
Yeah. Paulie, what do you think about that?
You guys make great points. I mean, again, I'd love to see the kids. I would love to see that. I would love to see, you know, American college hockey, and probably, you know, you'd have to go to Canadian junior leagues and things like that. But, you know, again, you know, you can say what you want about Bettman, and I'm not the biggest Bettman fan in the world, but, you know, when everybody else is rostering up the best people they can find, you know, you want to have some kind of competition in there. It's really a bittersweet thing for you know, for the game of the NHL. I think, you know, Russia's no obligation to you know, they want to put the best team that they can on the ice. And whether it's, you know, using the players that are playing in the NHL or the KHL or whatever the case may be, but, you know, you're looking at countries and teams that are going to put the best that they have in the world on the ice, and you can't fight that. So you have to at least let everybody play on equal grounds here, and I think that's, you know, one of the things why the NHL is the way it is with this, because, you can't allow Team Sweden to pull players and, you know, roll the league going and the whole nine yards, and then you got players saying, you know, I want to play for my country. You know, it's just, it's an ugly situation, so I think that's why the NHL allows, you know, you just got to shut the league down and let these guys play. And they, again, the play, if you ask the players, they want to play, guys. They want to represent their countries.
Yeah, but they're brainwashed into saying that. Come on. They're not going to say that they don't want to represent Paulie because then they're going to be bad-mouthed in the press. I could just imagine Lundqvist saying, I don't want to play for Sweden. I want to focus on the Rangers. He'd be, every Swedish newspaper in the world would call him a traitor. He'd be Benedict Lundqvist. I mean,
but
come
I
on.
Think, but Ricky, you know, I beg to differ with you there. I think these guys honestly, truly, in all their hearts, want to play for their country. Alex O has gone on record and said, listen, I'll gladly leave. You're not going to tell me I can't play with my country. I'm going to play with my country, and that's how I feel. Now, here's probably one of the most gifted hockey players that the game has seen in the last, you know, 5-6 years. And I beg to differ. I think Henrik... You know, Henrik has talked about, you know, winning the goal with Sweden before and how much it meant to him and how much he wants to go back and play again. Whether it's part of the media thing or not, I don't agree with that. Some of these guys really want to play for their countries. And I got to be honest, if I had the opportunity, I would want to play for my country as well.
Yeah, I don't know about the American. I just don't. I don't see excitement about the American team. Maybe I'm just not into it. Right
no,
now.
The Americans are not. I said it. I don't think they're even going to play. I really don't. I think you know. I think the Russians should pretty much walk away with this thing. You know, with Canada, I think is going to give the Russians a tough time, and I think they'll fight out for gold. Gold and silver there, and I think Sweden's got a chance in the Czechs, but I tell you, the American team, I don't know. There's a lot of scoring punch going into this. I mean, you look at Malkin and Kovalchuk and Alex O on the same team with guys like Pavel Datsyuk. I mean, that's a scary goal scoring animal right there.
Hey, there were two things.
Drury's going to shut him down.
Yeah, Drury, hey, Langenbrunner.
I was surprised he wasn't made captain. He's such a great captain, I can't believe he got named USA captain.
Now you're going to make me. All right, hold on.
After the game, the U.S. Olympic team was announced, and two New York Rangers will be on that team, Captain Chris Drury and alternate Captain Ryan Callahan. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to New York Rangers hockey. Sam Rosen along with Joe Micheletti and Dave Maloney, and what a great, great tribute to two fine New York Rangers, Chris Drury and
anyway, there were two things I wanted to mention before we get off the air. The first thing is, did you guys see that Neil Smith was named the head coach of the Johnstown Chiefs of the ECHL?
Yes.
Now,
what is he doing coaching?
Yeah, he's going to be there, the head coach of the Johnstown Chiefs. They were from the Johnstown, Pennsylvania, named after the Charlestown Chiefs from Slapshot.
I guess
Ted Nolan
wasn't available.
Yeah, right. The other thing I wanted to mention, and Eddie, I sent you the video on this. I wasn't sure if you saw it. Did you guys
see
the KHL, the Jager with the fights, where they had to stop the game 4 minutes in?
I just want to say, what kind of league is that? That looks like such a bush league. I know it's an Olympic-sized rink, but it looks like they're playing on a football field. I mean, what's going on there? I mean, that video looks like it's from 1978. Who filmed that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who filmed that video. Somebody posted it up on Blue Shirt Banner so we could take a look at it. Yeah, the video's pretty bad, and the guy who sounds like, you know, it sounds like a more like a highlight thing than it, but the announcer, he's like so monotone speaking, and you know, what I assume is Russian. But it was just funny because it, you know, the game starts, there's a bunch of fights, and then they get that cleared away, and then they have a face-off, and then they go. It was just like, it was almost like the players just decided before the game that they were just going to fight until they had no players left and call it a night after 4 minutes. I mean, it was just ridiculous. They were all paired off. It looked just like, you know, just like the movie Slapshot. Everybody was paired off. Guys flying off the bench to fight. Jágr got in a few good shots. It was just funny.
Jimmy, there's a team in that league that's owned by former NHL player, the Russian Bear, Nazarov. Remember Nazarov?
Okay,
he used to play for Tampa and a bunch of teams. Real dirty hockey player from San Jose. Well, he has a team over there, and he's just going around now gobbling up minor league goons. He's got Chris Simon, Darcy Vereau, Josh Gratton, Brandon Shugden, and about four other guys who've had over 300 minutes in the AHL and the NHL, and he's playing in this team like
a
traveling circus.
It looks like so Bush League over there.
Hey, I got to ask you this, guys. This is out of right field right now, but watching the Devils game, is there a devil called Zhirkov?
Yeah, I heard that in the corner, right?
Okay, because I was hysterical tonight.
There's
a devil.
Mike Emmerich called the guy Zhirkov right on that. Late in the third period, when the two fourth lines were matched up against each other, the puck goes to the right of Lundqvist, and it goes in the corner, and he goes, Zhirkov goes in the corner for the Devils.
You sure he didn't spot Mitch Beck in the crowd?
Oh, Mitch Beck was home doing PA's laundry. What are you talking about?
Mitch was whipping up some hamburger helper for tomorrow night when PA comes over.
All right. Well, good night, guys in the chat room. My sincere apologies for not having PA on. Sometimes these things are out of our control, but we love having you guys on. I mean, love talking to you guys.
Do me a favor tomorrow, since I'm not going to be around. I got to work tomorrow night. Ask Bob Brook what it was like to knock Ray Neufeld out cold in Hartford.
I will. Oh, show. Are we in the podcast now?
Yes, sir.
Paul, are you still on the line?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. Thanks for calling in, both of you guys, because I was all psyched up to talk to PA, and it was like after, you know, the Rangers stuff, it was like, boy, I hope we have something to talk about.
It's a lot easier to find things to talk about when they're losing.
Yeah. I thank you guys for stopping by. I sent you an email for that Ranger, Ricky, that Ranger viewing party thing at Foxwoods.
Yeah. What night is that?
It's on a Thursday. Of course, these idiots booked it on the 21st, I think.
I'll know this Thursday. I'll email you this Thursday night when I get my new schedule.
Okay. Cool.
And see if I can get up there, because I know Fatih is going to be up there, and I want him to get him to sign that new WHA jersey I just got.
Yeah, yeah. And Nick, he usually gets done signing early, so then he just hangs out. So I'm sure we could corner him, get a lot of good stories. So it'll be fun. All right, fellas. And thank you so much, guys, for contributing.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
No problem. Thank you, guys. See you tomorrow.
Good night.
All right. Good night. Eddie, I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay, take care.
All right, good night.